Lori Wright, also known as Not Your Average Grandma. I created this podcast as a place to go for midlife inspiration. If you are in a stage where you believe the best is behind you, it is my hope that one of these episodes will ignite a long suppressed or unrealized desire, and you will see the potential within yourself just waiting to be tapped so you can do amazing things with the time you have left. I want you to stop seeing your age as a limitation and start seeing it as your superpower. You have years of experience and value that a younger you never had, so it's time to lean into that and use it to fuel your future. No more letting age hold you back from the pursuit of a more passion-filled life. The more passionate we are, the better the world will be. So stop settling for average, put your AirPods in, and let this episode inspire you to take the first step in transforming your mind, body, and soul. Welcome to another Lessons Learned episode. I'm doing something special with this episode and the next three following this one. It's a four-part series, and it's based on a book that I recently read. Although I listened to it, so it was on Audible, but it was very powerful. And it was something that I had heard about from my coach as a book that really affected his life, changed his thinking in many ways back when he first read it. And so, of course, it was one that I had decided was on my list. And honestly, I picked it because the Audible version was only 2.5 hours. Some books, I read another book recently and was like 13 hours. And so it kind of in priority order, that one went first. But it was 2.5 hours that were like, oh my gosh, so eye-opening. And I thought that it was so worth sharing. And so today I'm going to talk about the first agreement of four agreements. The book is called The Four Agreements, and it's by Don Miguel Ruiz. And it's funny because when I heard what the first agreement was, I didn't guess right in terms of what I thought it was. The first agreement is be impeccable with your word. When I thought of impeccable with your word and what it meant, I thought being in integrity, being true to your word, being honest with yourself, but it's really not that. It's very eye-opening. It really changed my way of thinking about the words I use. And so what I want to do with this episode is I'm not putting it on video because I'm going to be referring to my notes a lot. And so who wants to watch a video of me looking down and not at you? So I'm just going to do an audio version of it. And I'm going to talk about, I'm not going to reveal all four agreements. I'm only going to reveal them with each episode that I share. So this episode will be agreement one. And then a week from now, I will do agreement two, and then every week until we're done with the four agreements, I'll share the next agreement. But it's been a great read or a great listen, I will say. All right. So to begin with, I'm just going to go through my notes. I not only listened to it once, I went back and in preparation for this episode and listened to it again and tried to capture the best nuggets, but I would still recommend you go listen to it. All right. So the word or your word is the power that you have to create. Your word is the gift that comes directly from God. Through your word, you express your creative power. It is through your word that you manifest everything. Regardless of what language you speak, your intent manifests through the word. What you dream, what you feel, and what you really are all manifested through the word. The word is not just a sound or a written symbol. The word is a force. It's the most powerful tool you have as a human to express and communicate and thereby create the events in your life. It's the tool of magic. But like a sword that has two edges, it can create the most beautiful dream, or your word can destroy everything around you. One edge of the sword is the misuse of the word, which actually creates a living hell. The other edge is the impeccability of the word, which will only create beauty, love, and heaven on earth. Depending on how it is used, the word can set you free or it can enslave you even more than you know. All the magic you possess is based on your word. Your word is pure magic, and misuse of your word is black magic. The word is so powerful that one word can change a life or destroy the lives of millions of people. Hitler was used as an example in the book of how the power of the word was used to convince people to commit the most atrocious acts of violence and manipulate a whole country of the most intelligent people to do that. Hitler activated people's fear with the word. And all over the world, humans destroyed other humans because they were afraid of each other. The human mind is like a fertile ground where seeds are being continuously planted. You plant a seed and it grows. A word is like a seed. The problem is that all too often the mind is too fertile for the seeds of fear. What's important to see is which kind of seeds our mind is fertile for, and to prepare it to receive the seeds of love. Seeing the awesome power of the word, we must understand what power comes out of our mouths. One fear or doubt planted in our mind can create an endless cascade of events. One word is like a spell. Using words like black magicians, thoughtlessly putting spells on ourselves and each other. Our opinions can plant bad spells. Parents and friends do this without even knowing. Maybe someone called you an idiot or compared you to your older sibling who got straight A's. The seed was planted and it grew. And now you believe you aren't smart enough. The spell was cast. But you can break the spell with the power of your word. You just need to plant a new seed. The word impeccable means two things. Peccatos, which is Latin for sin, and im, which means without. So impeccable, impeccable, means without sin. So what does sin mean? Anything you do that goes against yourself. Everything you believe, feel, or say that goes against yourself is a sin. You go against yourself when you judge or blame yourself for anything. So being impeccable means not going against yourself. When you are impeccable, you take responsibility for your actions, but you never judge or blame yourself for those actions. Sin begins with rejection of yourself, and this is the biggest sin one can make. In religious terms, self-rejection is actually a mortal sin, which leads to death. I had no idea. Impeccability, on the other hand, leads to life. If I see you on the street and I call you stupid, It appears as if I'm using the word against you, but I'm really using the word against myself. Because you're going to hate me for this. And you hating me is not good for me. My word has created emotional poison. If I love myself, I'll express that love in my interactions with you. And then I'm being impeccable with my word, because that action will cause a like reaction. If I love you, you will love me. If I insult you, you'll insult me. If I have gratitude for you, you'll have gratitude for me. If I'm selfish with you, you'll be selfish with me. If I use the word to put a spell on you, you'll use the word to put a spell on me. Being impeccable with your word is the correct use of your energy. Use your energy in the direction of truth and love for yourself. If you make an agreement with yourself to be impeccable with your word, just with that mention, the truth will manifest through you and clean all of the emotional poison that exists within you. But making this agreement will be difficult, because we have learned to do just the opposite. We have learned to lie as a habit in the communication with others, and more importantly, with ourselves. We are not impeccable with our word. We use the word to blame, argue, fight, and destroy. Of course, we also use it in the right way, but not too often. Remember, the word is pure magic, the most powerful gift we have as humans, and we use it against ourselves. We create chaos with the word. We use it to create hate between political parties, between races, between different people, between families, between nations. We use it to spread our personal poison. Misuse of the word is how we pull each other down and keep each other in a state of fear and doubt. In the book, he tells a story of a tired mom who got home from work and her daughter was dancing and singing. Happy, joyful, jumping around, and being a positive spirit. And the mom said, obviously coming home exhausted, stressed, the mom said to her daughter, her happy daughter, "Shut up. You have an ugly voice." That was her gut reaction, because she just wanted to quiet her. She didn't know the power of her word. She didn't know she had used black magic on her daughter. So the little girl developed a complex and never sang again, just from this one spell. And the spell was from the one person who loved her most, her own mother. How many times do we do this to our children? I know I can think of things that I've said in the past that deposited black magic into my children's minds. We give them these types of opinions, and our children carry that black magic years and years. People who love us do black magic on us, but they don't know what they do. That is why we must forgive them. These spells are difficult to break. The only thing that can break a spell is to make a new agreement based on truth. The truth is the most important part of being impeccable with your word. On one side of the sword are the lies, which create black magic. And on the other side of the sword is the truth, which has the power to break the spell or black magic. Looking at everyday human interactions, how many times do we cast spells with our word? Gossip is the worst kind of black magic. And most of us learned this as small children. And we learned this because we heard adults doing it. And we learned this as the normal way to communicate. Gossiping has become the main form of communication in human society. It's become the way we feel close to each other, because it makes us feel better to see someone else feel as badly as we do. Remember the expression, misery loves company? People who are suffering don't want to suffer alone. Using the analogy of the human brain as a computer, we can think of gossip as a computer virus. I love this analogy. These viruses have computer code, but code that has a harmful intent. This code is inserted into your computer when you least expect it, and most of the time without your awareness. After the virus is introduced, your computer doesn't work quite right. He used an analogy of in the way this can play out, where gossip creates black magic and spreads lies, makes us feel bad. He used an example of a teacher where some student didn't like the teacher and so spread a rumor, which was the student's own perception of that teacher. So spread gossip about the teacher being a bad teacher and expressing all the things that the student didn't like about the teacher, which made other people not like the teacher, which made other people talk about the teacher in negative terms. And when I was listening to this, it hit home because this happened to me when I was in college. Freshman year, I had an English teacher. I didn't have him yet. I got him as my teacher on my class schedule. And in the dorm, there was this huge discussion about this teacher being the worst teacher and how everybody failed his class. Now, everybody is an extreme, but the people that I was associating with were like, oh my gosh, you got to change. You got to drop that course. You got to get another teacher. And it really influenced me negatively about that teacher and made me afraid to be his student. But I couldn't drop his class. I couldn't sign up for another class. And so I had to have him as a teacher. And I ended up getting an A in that class. So all those things that were said about this teacher, that I was going to drop him as a teacher, were entirely untrue with my own experience. So that really hit home for me, and how this gossiping, as an example, can just wreak black magic and send computer viruses into our brains. So imagine if every single time someone gossiped to you, they inserted a computer virus into your mind, causing you to think differently and less clearly every time. Then you, in an attempt to clear up your confusion, you spread this gossip to others, poisoning their minds in the same way yours was. Now imagine this pattern going on in a never-ending chain between all the humans on Earth. The result is a world full of humans who can only receive information through circuits that are clogged with a poisonous, contagious virus. Worse are the computer hackers, like Hitler, who intentionally spread the virus. When we see the world through a computer virus, it is easy to justify the cruelest behavior. For years, we've received the gossip and spells from the words of others, but also from the way we use our word with ourselves. We talk to ourselves constantly and mostly say things like, I look fat. I look ugly. I'm getting old. I'm stupid. I never understand anything. I will never be good enough. Do you see how we use the word against ourselves? We must begin to understand what the word is and what the word does. Consider how many times you've gossiped about the person you love the most to gain the support of others for your point of view. How many times have you hooked other people's attention and spread poison about your loved one in order to make your opinion right? Your opinion is nothing but your point of view. It is not necessarily true, the truth. Your opinion comes from your beliefs, your own ego. We create all of this poison and spread it to others just so we can feel right about our own point of view. If we adopt the first agreement and become impeccable with our word, any emotional poison will eventually be cleaned from our own mind and from our communication in our personal relationships, including with our pets. found that very fascinating. Impeccability of your word will also give you immunity from anyone putting a negative spell on you. You'll only receive a negative idea if your mind is fertile ground for that idea. Instead of black magic, it will be fertile for the words that come from love. You can measure the impeccability of your word by your level of self-love. How much you love yourself and how you feel about yourself are in direct proportion to the integrity of your word. When you are impeccable with your word, you feel good, you feel happy, and at peace. So now the seed has been planted in your mind. Whether or not the seed grows is dependent on how fertile your mind is for the seeds of love. It is up to you to make the agreement to be impeccable with your word. This agreement, this first agreement, will change the kinds of seeds your mind is fertile for. To be impeccable with your word is powerful, and it must start with you. Tell yourself how wonderful you are, how great you are. Tell yourself how much you love yourself. Just this one agreement can change your whole life. It can take away all fear and transform it into joy and love. Just imagine what you can create with the impeccability of your word. So start today by making this agreement and begin to be impeccable with your word. Next week, I'll share the second agreement. Thank you so much for tuning into the podcast. If you haven't yet, make sure to subscribe on iTunes if you have an Apple device. You can find free resources and learn what else I have going on at the moment that might interest you on my website at notyouraveragegrandma.com. You can also find me on Instagram or Facebook at notyouraveragegrandma. If you liked this episode, it would make my heart so happy if you could leave me a 5-star rating. You can also add a review to let me know what you like about this podcast, which will help spread the word about it to others who need a little midlife inspiration. As always, be you, listen to your inner voice, and focus on reigniting that lost spark so you can start living your own, not your average life.